Just a little heads up, there is some audio issue on this recording. Ronnie and myself, we sound echoey. Aaron does not. Couldn't get the echo out in post-production, so we are going to go ahead and just present the show as it is. The main reason for it is when we talk about our WrestleMania past moments that we enjoyed the most, the passion with which we speak about those, I think we would lose a little bit of that rehashing it, talking about it a second time so close to the first time. And I didn't want to lose that emotion that we were projecting on there. So please just bear with us this week for that. Again, it's not horrible. It's very tolerable to listen to, but I guess it could be annoying to some. But anyhow, thanks.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
So, yeah, I guess that's it for this week then. Hey, Aaron?
I think so.
Yeah, Ronnie, anything you want to add before we sign off?
Nope. See you later, slap dicks.
Hey, Ronnie, how's it going?
It's going.
So, remember last week's show, we kind of started that little bit new format type thing?
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I got a guy subject. I'm not at work. They're not subjects. They're people. My at work, every person life. Is a subject. Anyways, this fella I've been talking to here, Brandon, he has that Wrestling With My Thoughts blog. He sent me a comment. I'm trying to find it now. I'm scrolling back. Scrolling back. There it is. Scrolling said, I really wanted to tell you. I wanted to tell you I really enjoyed last week's podcast for 1,000 Holds. I listened to it today, and it's the stuff I love to hear, wrestling fans being passionate about their fandom. I love the whole wrestling fan origin story. It was a fantastic show. Then he wants to see my Marcella autograph photo, and then this goes along with it, where he says he likes it because it's a celebration of the sport and not the typical, this shit sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's a lot to bitch about.
Right.
But like you've mentioned, everybody does that. So it's just nice to read and hear what makes wrestling great and why you continue to tune in. So I thought that was a really great compliment. And it's honestly, I had a lot of fun last week with the way we recorded the show. And I know we've talked about it, all three of us. About kind of changing up, making the This Week in Wrestling a bit shorter, and just mostly talking about different topics.
Yeah.
And I really look forward to that type of format going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about it too. Even before you guys were like, yay, we kind of recorded a different way this week. Yeah. I was thinking about, I'm like, it feels like I'm so negative on here.
Yes.
I don't want to be like that. Like, the one thing I enjoy about when Ronnie and I do Rebirthically.
Yep.
Most of the books are so good that we're able to be like, oh my God, this is awesome. This is why I enjoy this. And it's like with the wrestling, it's like there's so much, oh my God, this sucks. And this is why it sucks. And this is why I hate it. And oh yeah, this one cool thing happened for 8 seconds, but everything else was terrible. And I'm like, I don't want to be like that.
Neither do I. It's kind of like John and I sometimes we'll record the What Did You Watch This Week? And at one point, John should say, oh, keep in mind, folks, we actually do like these shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, I don't want. So that's why, like, I don't talk about. Like, we talk about the comic book shows because we have to. I mean, that's what we are. That's who we are and everything. But, like, other shows, if I didn't enjoy it that week or it wasn't anything worth talking about, I just don't talk about it.
Yeah, that's right. That's why I stopped reading some of the comics.
Yeah. Yeah, because I saw you're talking about, like, even though you're doing Rebirthically, you're going to start dropping titles because they're not fun to read.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Ronnie still reads some of the stuff that I don't. So every couple of weeks on those, I ask him for, hey, catch me up on what's happening in this book.
Yep.
And, I mean, I'll never read it, but at least I can keep along.
Yeah, I hear
and basically what it boils down to is us three as friends talking about something that we love instead of it being like a chore and being like, oh, I got to come up with something good to say now instead of
right
negative Nancy, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we could always talk about Hawaiian shirts and manager gimmicks.
Hey, we can talk about that. I don't care.
That works too. Anyway, so, but with that being said, we're going to talk about this is a go home week for NXT and for WrestleMania, so we kind of have to talk about those.
Yeah.
You know? But
we
on
don't
the tail
have
end,
to.
But. Well, I'd like to.
No, I don't.
And then on the tail end, I think, Aaron, you had mentioned something about talking about our favorite WrestleMania matches.
Yes, sir.
Which led me last night to rewatching several. Of
full
my favorite
manias or matches?
No, just several of my favorite Mania matches.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
and
think
they may not be like everyone's favorite matches, but they're just the ones that I'm going with what I enjoyed as opposed to like.
That's when I was looking back over some of the previous Manias, I was coming up with matches that I remembered really liking for odd reasons.
Yep.
And I was like, you know what? I could do, you know, everyone, I'm sure everybody likes, you know, Shawn Michaels Undertaker at 25. Everybody likes, you know,
Savage Steamboat.
Yeah, Savage Steamboat at 3. But,
yeah,
you know, I want to come up with a couple others that I really enjoy that might be a little out there.
Yes, that's exactly the approach I took.
So.
Yeah, that's exactly the approach I took. Yeah, so we want to, let's just jump right into it with NXT and what's coming up for the show this week on Saturday night. And, or do we want to talk about Hall of Fame first?
Yeah, you want to do the Hall of Fame first? Cause that's
Friday? I forgot. Yeah, let's go in chronological order. So I don't know who Eric LeGrand is, who's getting the Warrior Award. He's some paralyzed college football player.
Yeah, wasn't he? Didn't he play for Rutgers, I think? Because I believe Tampa Bay drafted him as like a symbolic thing because their coach was the coach at Rutgers at the time. And they did it. And, you know, basically he was like an ambassador for whatever.
Well,
I don't remember exactly what it is. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's kind of neat they did that.
If that's who I'm thinking it is.
Well, I think you're right. I think he did play for Rutgers.
Right.
Ronnie, you got nothing on this?
No, that is correct. Aaron is correct.
Okay.
I mean, besides that, I mean, it is what it is. I don't know if he's done anything, like, besides that, you know. But
yeah, I know he, I'm trying to think what year it was. It was maybe 3 years ago, I guess, they drafted him. And he spent, like, a year doing stuff around Florida. And I'm sure he does stuff nationwide or worldwide. You know, raising awareness and trying to raise funds for like spinal research.
Mm-hmm. Well, so that's cool then, I guess. I don't know about this Warrior Award. I mean, I feel like when they did it with like having a good heart in mind of what they wanted to represent. But
right.
I question how long it'll last.
Well, I mean, it's good publicity.
Basically. So Rick Rude, he's being inducted by Ricky Steamboat.
I did not hear Ricky Steamboat was inducting him.
Yeah.
That is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I was actually kind of hoping it would be Bobby Heenan.
He can't talk, though.
Yeah, that's the only downer.
Yeah, that sucks. The guy who was known for being one of the best talkers in the business can't talk anymore.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's odd because I'm pretty sure, I feel like, I mean, I don't feel like they did. They had a great, like, 30-minute Iron Man match at Beach Blast 91. So that was a pretty fantastic match. So, it's kind of neat that Ricky Steamboat's inducting him. Beth Phoenix by Natalya.
I don't really care.
Moving on, then. Teddy Long.
Look, Beth Phoenix, she did a lot of things when she was there. But it's still, like, there's so many people I would have guessed would go in before her.
Like Baby Doll, Missy Hyatt, even Dark Journey, even. I mean,
yeah.
Precious, you know, Jimmy Garvin's wife, Precious. There's a lot of other like pioneers of like managerial women that I think probably should go in. I know I feel like, oh, we got Beth Phoenix because we have to have a girl. And so they went Beth Phoenix because she's not done wrestling, but.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyhow. DDP by Eric Bischoff. That's not a surprise.
Yeah.
Teddy Long being inducted by the APA. I'm actually really looking forward to that because Bradshaw, you know, he's inducted the Briscoes. He's inducted Ron Simmons. And he has just awesome induction speeches when he – or promos, actually. Induction promos when he puts the people in. So I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah.
The Rock and Roll Express by James E. Cornette. That
so
blows my mind.
To Cornette.
That just blows my mind. And then Kurt Angle by John Cena, which I don't know if I agree with that. I know John Cena's first opponent on the main roster on TV was Kurt Angle.
Well, I mean, who would you have preferred? I mean, there's one person that I would have thought would have been fantastic, and that's Stone Cold.
Yeah.
Just because of everything with the two of them over the years.
The skits, the matches. I think Austin would have been great. I think even Brock Lesnar, I mean, kind of. He's not a talker, I realize, but.
Right. But, I mean, look, Cena talks.
He does
a great job, and it'll help, I guess, get younger kids who don't know who Kurt Angle is more excited about it.
Fair enough. Either way, this Friday night, my wife is going out of town. She's leaving Thursday morning. She's going to Final Destination. She's flying down to Mocksville, North Carolina. She hasn't seen her friend Lydia in like 8 years. So she's going down there. She's going to spend a long weekend with her on her horse farm, relaxing, getting away or whatever. And so because when she asked me about doing – said, hey, I'd like to do this. Do you have a problem with it? I'm like, no, that's fine. Go. I like to go do my thing. You go do your thing. But if you're going to go this spring, I'd like to pick the weekend. And she was like, okay. So I picked this weekend because it's WrestleMania weekend.
Nice.
So if I have to take time off from work and be home while she's gone, I at least want to take time off when I'd like to be home anyways. So I'm really looking forward to being home Friday, Saturday, Sunday so I can take in Hall of Fame, NXT, and WrestleMania and not have to worry about sharing the TV with anyone.
Sure.
I just watch what I want to watch and not feel guilty about it.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to Hall of Fame this weekend. I don't know if you guys heard about the Legacy inductees.
I saw the list.
I got them listed
remember.
Here. Okay. Yeah. Luther Lindsay, Pioneer. I'm going to – God, I hope I'm not wrong. I think he's black. Pioneer, African-American professional wrestler. Ricky Dozan, the father of Japanese pro wrestling. Farmer Burns, who I'm working on a blog on Farmer Burns. Like, he doesn't have the name recognition of, like, Hackenschmidt, Gotch, Ed the Strangler Lewis, etc., Pat O'Connor, whatnot. But he trained all these guys. Like, he trained so many top talents.
Right.
You know, back in the early 1900s, it's insane who he had a hand in training in wrestling. Toots Mott, original WWF promoter with Vince McMahon Sr. June Byers. Oh, also, yeah, June Byers, Betty Grable, Dr. Jerry Graham, and the big Haystacks Calhoun.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like seeing Haystacks get in there.
Yeah, me too.
Now, the Legacy people.
Yeah.
They don't bring out like family members and stuff. They just kind of
Don't do that. They just kind of do like a little video package on them.
Right. Okay.
Type of thing. Yeah. Yeah. It's just basically acknowledging, hey, these are some pioneers of the business. We just want to acknowledge that, you know, recognize them type of thing, which
right.
I guess is kind of cool.
Yeah.
But like some of these guys are probably alive still. And I think I want to say like June Byers and Betty Grable are. So I'm sure they would like to be recognized, like, on TV, perhaps.
Well, I mean, maybe they're sitting in the audience and they can wave.
I hope they do that. I hope they do that. Anybody else want to talk anything about the Hall of Fame?
No, I don't think so.
Cool. I just want to cut it off. So NXT TakeOver, again, I got a spreadsheet database going on. I'm going to put down all our results so that we actually have it listed. I got myself already down. I want to get you and Ronnie tonight. I want to get Cousin Paul, my buddy Rude, and then anyone else that's listening that wants to throw us their results. I'll tell you what, I'll do this one better. Anyone that's listening wants to throw us their results, their predictions of who's going to win TakeOver and WrestleMania. Whoever has the best winning percentage, I have an autographed photo of the Motor City Machine Guns. I'll send them.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't even say to Mike it on or anything. It's just an autographed photo of the Motor City Machine Guns. Chris Sabin and the other guy. Oh my God, Alex Shelley. I couldn't remember his name for a minute.
It's like the other guy. Really, Mike?
The other guy from Detroit. Anyway, so anyone listening wants to get in on this, send us the results, their predictions, and if you win, I will mail you next Wednesday the United States Postal Service autographed photo, 8x10. So, NXT TakeOver, Cien Almas against Aleister Black. I've already put Black down for both of you, just so you know.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, like, does Almas ever win?
It's not only that. This is the official NXT television debut of Tommy End as Aleister Black. So, I mean, there's no way he's not winning.
Yeah.
And Cien is officially heel now, right?
Yes, I believe so. Yes,
not everybody's just booing him because they don't like him. But
he's officially after his feud with Oney Larkin. He's officially heel.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm actually looking forward to the match. Huh?
I kind of feel bad for him in a way. Like he's a talented guy. They brought him in with a lot of hype, but it's like he's the Sami Zayn of NXT. Like he's the guy who they bring in just to lose to everybody.
Yeah, it's like
that can work.
Yeah. It's like Ty Dillinger's going like, yeah, better you than me, pal.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've already done my 4 years here, so
I put in my time.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to see Tommy End debut.
Absolutely.
As a
re-debut.
Well, he's not Tommy End anymore. So.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Because in the UK tournament, he was Tommy End. So.
Yes, he was. Because he had just signed, and that's what people knew him as.
Right. Which I guess that answers our question from a couple episodes ago.
Which was? I don't remember. Oh, his name.
His name? Whether since he debuted or whatever.
Yeah. Asuka against Ember Moon for the NXT Women's Championship.
I don't see Asuka losing the belt ever.
Neither do I.
I'm picking Ember Moon. The only reason is because they're going to have somebody get it off of Asuka so she can go up.
Yeah, but I don't think now it's going to be. See, I don't think it's going to be now. Like, if before, they just announced that the SmackDown Women's title is going to be defended on
the pre-show.
Pre-show. So before they did that, if they would have left it on the main card, then I would have assumed that Asuka would have debuted there on the main card and won the belt.
Yeah.
But because of how they did it, now that it's pre-show.
I mean, unless they're going to go all out and be like, this is why you people should watch the pre-show.
Oh, maybe.
You never know what's going to happen.
Well, so you want Ember Moon. I just don't think it's her time yet. I don't think it's anyone's time to beat Asuka. I feel like she'll be like Paige. She'll go up to the main roster as champ, and they'll just take the belt off her and have a tournament. Oh, they'll just take
maybe
the belt off
the women's tournament.
And then this summer when they have the women's tournament they're building to, the winner of the tournament will be the new NXT Women's Champion, maybe.
Interesting.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Tag team elimination match for the NXT Tag Team Championships. Authors of Pain with Paul Ellering versus DIY versus The Revival.
Wait, that's an elimination match?
Match. I don't know. You must have. I saw it listed as being an elimination match.
Interesting.
And I voted for The Revival because I think Revival and DIY will team up together to eliminate the Authors of Pain. And then we'll see them go crazy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. There's only four matches on the card, dude. It's a two-hour-plus show, and there's four matches on the card. So unless they add matches on the fly.
Well, they usually sneak in that one extra match. So maybe we'll get...
You know, it's weird that Ty Dillinger's not on the card, right?
That's what I was... Maybe they'll throw in, like, Ty Dillinger against some, you know...
And Sanity's not on the card.
Elias Sampson.
See, no, because all the... See, yes, tomorrow night's show was recorded weeks ago. So, yeah. I mean, like, they've already, you know, the website that I grabbed these match listings from, they would have any matches that might get added on Wednesday. Well, if they do add any matches between now and then, we'll just, you know, we'll update the list then. But, so.
And everybody gets a win.
Yeah. So, Aaron,
yes.
Who it's going to be?
Which match was this?
Tag Team Elimination.
Tag Team. I'm sorry, we were talking about.
I know. Authors of Pain versus DIY versus Revival.
Well, listen, I don't think I want DIY to win the belts.
See, I put down the Revival
but
three times.
But I think that the Authors of Pain are going to keep them.
Yep.
I don't see them taking the belts off them anytime soon. But yep. I like your idea a lot of DIY and the Revival kind of looking at each other and just going 4-on-2 and seeing what happens. Could you imagine, oh man, this would be great, if they all get their finishers on them at the same time?
Oh. It'd be like a human centipede thing.
Way to ruin the image.
You know, but like, you know, something crazy like that's going to happen, and the Authors of Pain are just, they're both going to stand up and just like throw them off of them.
Start flinging bodies off them.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not a big fan of theirs. You know, they're still relatively newish to me, where I'm just like, you know what, they remind me of so many other teams, but they do have potential to do some awesome stuff.
Yep.
And I think, man, could you imagine that visual? Just them getting up and like just shaking them off. Fantastic.
That actually would be pretty cool. That actually would be pretty damn cool.
Yeah, but I'm still going to go with my favorites DIY to win the belt.
All right. Ronnie, your pick. I went with the Revival, by the way. Being the first ever three-time NXT Tag Team Champions.
I'm going to say Authors of Pain's going to keep it somehow, some way.
Okay.
Yeah, just because I don't think DIY or the Revival is going to be in NXT very much longer. I know we always say that, like, every big takeover, but...
And then every takeover, that's the tag match?
Yeah, well, and again, every takeover, I think this one's going to steal the show.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I agree with that. And then the main event of the night for the NXT Championship, champion Bobby Roode against Shinsuke Nakamura.
Oh, wow, I just lied, because this one might... deal the show too.
I put Nakamura down as winning the belt.
Really?
Yep.
Interesting.
I see Bobby Roode going up to the main roster before Nakamura does.
Really?
Yep.
Yep.
Well, that's
because I see them wanting, because they're bringing NXT to the UK in the coming months. They're bringing NXT to Japan again this summer, and I see them wanting to keep Nakamura on that card.
But you know what, though? You could bring Nakamura with them to Japan without having him.
No, you're right. You're right. You could. And so, same thing with the UK. I mean, he is already advertised. But I just, especially in May for the UK loop. But I see Nakamura. He's only been in NXT for a year. And I know not everyone takes that long to be whatever. But, like, if Nakamura loses the match, then I do see him debuting on Raw on Monday.
So if he wins the match, would he be he's the first time four-time champion?
Three-time champion.
Okay.
Yeah, I see him winning the match. I see him winning the match, winning the belt, and staying in NXT, and I see Bobby Roode going up to the main roster.
Wow. I think Bobby Roode is going to retain the title.
Ronnie?
I was going to say same thing. I think Bobby Roode I don't know if Shinsuke or Bobby Roode is going to go up or not, but I don't think they're going to do the three-time so quickly. Like, it took this long to get a two-time, and then, you know, we had two two-time champions within the month.
Aaron, I'm sorry I cut you off. What were you going to say about it?
No, that was it.
Oh, okay. No, because honestly, like, here's my thought process on Nakamura coming up. I don't see him coming up to the main roster to wait a year to have a match with AJ Styles at WrestleMania. Because in my opinion, and in my hope, Nakamura's first match with AJ Styles on the main roster for WWE has to be at WrestleMania.
So you're saying, like, he'll on be the pre-show. An entrant?
On the pre-show, yeah. Like,
an entrant at the Royal Rumble?
I could see something like that. Or even just, you know, they bring him up next February or something like that to be the challenger for AJ Styles, or just to have a match with AJ Styles.
No, but there are so many people for Nakamura to have matches with before he even gets to AJ Styles that I think – I don't see why they couldn't bring him up much, much sooner.
I understand what you're saying. I just
– You know, I want to see him against Finn Balor.
I'm not going with logic. I'm going with what I hope.
I want to see him against Sami Zayn again. I want to see him against Kevin Owens.
Oh, yeah. No,
I
want to
see him against AJ. And, I mean, you know, so what will end up happening is he'll have a match against Shane McMahon.
God,
or he can have vignettes for a month and then lose in 2 seconds like Kurt Hawkins.
Yeah.
Yeah,
or he can do vignettes for 5 or 6 years and then come out and be like, oh, I don't like this, and coming
then do
soon.
More vignettes.
Yeah. The return of Emma.
Or do vignettes and then announce that you're going to come out for a match and then not come out and then get fired from the company.
Oh.
Or quit.
Which is great, by the way.
Just, it's all gone.
Yeah.
So moving on to Sunday night's show, WrestleMania number 33.
The granddaddy of them all.
The granddaddy of them all, yes. The showcase of the Immortals pre-show. Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Now, I got Braun Strowman down as winning.
I mean, it's got to be, right?
Yeah, yeah. I feel like it has to be. I feel like it has to be.
You know, like a second ago, he was standing eye to eye with The Undertaker.
Yeah,
and now he's in a pre-show battle royal.
Yeah, yeah. But also, I gotta say, his last few matches. I know his match with Big Show on Raw wasn't.
I thought it was great. So
I know some people hated it. I thought it was good, and then I actually really enjoyed his match with Reigns. I thought he should have gotten the win because I fucking hate Roman Reigns, but I just do. I can't help it. I just do. But I've become a fan of Strowman, especially after hearing him on Austin's podcast, because when you hear his story, it's like, all right, he's not just some muscle-bound meathead who fell into wrestling because he's a big guy and they said, hey, you should try this. It's a guy who was like, I like doing this. I try very hard at this, and I want to excel at this. And so I'm like, I can get behind that.
Yeah.
I can get behind that. But either if he doesn't win it, then him and Big Show have to do some odd double elimination thing where then they can feud for the next couple months or whatever it is, having matches. But otherwise, I'm saying it's got to be Strowman.
Yeah.
We don't have Big Show and Shaq?
Nope. No. Big Show's in the Rumble. The Royal, I mean. Battle Royal. So who are you going to go with based on like the 9 people they've announced? Yeah, Ronnie.
Oh, Strowman for sure. Yeah. So it's a 3-way.
Yep. We all agree, Ronnie.
I wonder if they're going to have like a surprise entrant like last year with Corbin.
Well, I'm thinking Ty Dillinger possibly. If he's not booked on the NXT card, I could see him coming in for that. Because he could come in for that.
But you know what, though? But they haven't come in at the Royal Rumble.
Still safe. Yeah, but he hasn't done anything since then on the upper roster.
Right.
That or just keep him down in NXT for another year and have him debut as number 10 again next year.
That's so amazing.
That was the, you know, like, I know I thought they wouldn't do it because it would be too cool and make sense, or there's no way they're going to do it. And then they did. And
that was my favorite thing.
That is my favorite part of the entire Royal Rumble pay-per-view, is Ty Dillinger coming out as number 10.
Yep. Yeah. And the I mean, I was so hoping going in that that was what was going to happen. And like you said, we're like, no, there's no way. There's no way they're actually going to do it.
Right.
And at number 10, when it comes out, I was like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever. Everything else that has been bad about this, I don't even mind because this is so fantastic.
I agree. It was the absolute best part of the Royal Rumble pay-per-view for me. So, yeah. Yep, it was. Cruiserweight Championship, Neville versus Austin Aries. And I think we got a new champion in Austin Aries.
I think so. I agree.
Too bad it's on the pre-show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Austin Aries went on and said he's going to take the pre-show to new heights this year.
Yep.
I see it happening because Austin Aries really circumvented the whole going from the NXT to the main roster thing by sticking in, jumping in the 205 bandwagon, right?
Yeah.
It was a good move on his part because now he's got matches on Raw. He's got a singles match for a title on the pre-show.
Yeah, I mean, he's a heck of a talent.
Yeah,
I mean, not
this
not
has
saying
all the
Neville
potential in the world to steal the weekend. These two guys,
absolutely.
Yeah, is it unanimous, Ronnie?
Yeah.
All three of us agree.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So the women's SmackDown women's title has now been moved to the pre-show.
It's Naomi. I'll say it's Naomi. It's garbage. Let's just move on.
All right. Ronnie, were you aware that Naomi is making a surprise return? Not a surprise return. Naomi made her return on SmackDown tonight, and she's now an entrant into the match.
No.
She is, and so that's why I've now gone from being Asuka debuting and winning to Naomi winning the battle, winning her belt back. And Aaron agrees. So
as she showed up.
Yeah.
I mean, you knew that that was what was going to happen, and it's terrible.
Yes.
And I want Alexa Bliss to keep the belt at Mania because there's no one else right now, I think, who deserves it.
Yeah. I am of 100% agreeance. But, Ronnie, your pick.
Alexa Bliss.
Oh, you're going to go with Alexa Bliss keeping the belt?
Yep.
All right. All right, so the first match I'm going to bring up on the main card is going to be the Intercontinental Championship match of Dean Ambrose against Baron Corbin. I'm choosing Baron Corbin to win. I feel like that's the direction they're going to go with.
I agree with
that match.
I think Corbin's going to probably win as well.
Yep.
Yes. Corbin's definitely winning.
All right. So, it looks like the Usos. Seriously. They had a match tonight on SmackDown. Slater, Rhino, Mojo, Rawley, Gable, and Jordan. The Usos, Ziggler, Breeze, and Breeze Zango. They're all in there in a big eight-man match to see who is going to be. And they're all in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. So that's what's happening in SmackDown tag titles. Those participants are in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. So, Ronnie, you said Baron Corbin as well.
Right, I believe he did.
Yeah. Let's see here. Cena and Bella against Miz and Maryse. I went with Cena and Bella.
I want Miz and Maryse to win.
Yeah, me too.
Did we just lose Ronnie?
We just lost Ronnie. Anyways, you want Miz and Maryse to win? I do too, but I don't see it happening.
Yeah.
I think
at WrestleMania, I think it's going to be the Bellas.
Yeah. And the reason why is because they're doing all those vignettes and all this other stuff, and so that means they need to get their comeuppance by being beat up and losing.
Yep.
So, United States Championship, Chris Jericho against Kevin Owens. I went with Owens.
I believe Owens is going to win as well.
And I would love him to see him win with the old package pile driver because I really think see that. And I see Jericho being like, that's what I'm going to lose to.
You know what I think?
What?
I think Jericho might actually win and retain the belt.
Yeah.
and I think they're going to rematch at whatever the next pay-per-view is.
Yep.
And that's when you're going to see Owens bring out his crazy move and beat Jericho, and that's going to be the last we see of Jericho for a while.
I could see them having a return match at the next pay-per-view, but I still see Kevin Owens winning. You know what's amazing? There's no Samoa Joe match on this card. Like, somehow Samoa Joe doesn't have a match at WrestleMania this year.
Because he's getting involved in the...
Triple H Seth Rollins match,
yeah, because it's an unsanctioned street fight.
Yeah. So who's going to come to Seth Rollins' aid?
I don't know. Maybe The Shield?
God, I hope not.
Yeah, well, yeah. I don't know. Maybe it'll be Sting.
Oh, that would be cool. I would be down for that. Holy shit, yes, I would be. So you picked Owens for the United States Championship match. Did you pick Jericho?
No, I'm going to pick Jericho. Change my mind.
All right. Well, we're talking about it, so let's just go down to the Seth Rollins and Triple H.
Seth Rollins.
I put Triple H because it's, really? You know, yeah. He's not going to lose.
Come on, he's got to lose.
Nope.
You don't build for 6 years for a storyline to have the good guy lose.
Of course you do when Triple H is the other guy.
No, Triple H loses matches.
No.
I mean, at WrestleMania 20, he lost.
He beat Brock Lesnar a lot.
He lost to The Undertaker at Mania.
Yeah, he did. All three matches they had at Mania, he lost all three. That's very true. But didn't he come out looking stronger on the first loss? Like, he was the loser, but he won the war?
Yeah, was that the Hell in a Cell?
Nope. No, Hell in a Cell, he's the one that looked that was worse for wear at the end of that one, actually.
But they all walked out together.
Yeah, it was the end of an era. Yeah, and they're all still there. So I went with Triple H, and I'm sticking with my guns on Triple H on that one.
I'm going to go.
They're going to screw over Seth Rollins and continue this feud.
I'm going to say somehow he's going to pull it out, and he's going to get the win.
Unless Sting, you know.
I mean, I don't even
care. Who does help. But that would be awesome, dude. I'd shit myself. I'd poop a little.
I mean, at the same time, though. Seth Rollins is the one that kind of ended Sting's career, so I don't know if that would be who it is, but...
God, imagine if Sting came out, we all thought he was going to help Seth Rollins, and then he hit him with the bat.
Oh, my goodness. Or maybe it'll be Kurt Angle. Bum, 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 bum.
Yeah. It's not going to be.
It's not going to be, but I just like the year when Triple H and Sting were having their match and the NWO and DX all came out. I mean, even though
Did you really like that, though? Really like it?
This is why I liked it. They're all old, except for Shawn Michaels, and out of shape. But
yeah.
It was just cool to see them all. Did it deserve to be on WrestleMania? I don't know when there could have been, like, actual talent on the roster used. But... Come on, it was cool.
I mean, I got to see Shawn Michaels super kick Sting in the face, because my dream match was always Shawn Michaels and Sting.
Yeah.
But that was it, so I guess that's all I got to settle for. Did you see that they did offer Shawn Michaels a match with AJ Styles?
Yes.
Shawn Michaels turned it down.
Yes.
I'd rather not know they did that.
Exactly.
Freaking WWE, why would they pull the trigger on that? Then know that Shawn Michaels is like, yeah, thanks, but no, guys.
That is exactly my thought.
HBK is just going to train. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, don't even tell me that was out there, because now I'm even more upset that he's fighting Shane McMahon.
Yep. Speaking of that, I picked AJ Styles in that match.
He's got to win.
Yeah. Undertaker against Roman Reigns. I went with Taker because, for the love of God, if otherwise.
You know what?
Yeah.
I have to pick the Undertaker because, I mean, it's the Undertaker. Yep. But I don't know, man.
God, I hope not.
I don't know, man.
Raw tag team ladder match. See, they made it a ladder match, just like I said on Monday night when I first saw them bring the ladders out, and I made that comment
yep.
in our chat group. The Club versus, I put ENC and I almost went and said Edge and Christian, but Enzo and Big Cass versus Cesaro and Sheamus. And I went with the Club.
Yeah, I think the Club are going to retain until the Hardys come out and do crazy ladder stunts.
Well, okay, so that was the thing I just read, that it looks like the Hardys could debut on WrestleMania or they could debut on Raw. But I almost think it would be badass if they debuted on WrestleMania by, you know, darkening the ring somehow. I mean, it'll be nighttime there, I guess. Have this match be later in the show, and then they can shut the lights off and then have them come back on. The Hardys are in the ring.
Yeah.
And he cut some sort of gimmick about you're going to have a ladder match at WrestleMania without the Hardy Brothers or whatever it is, without Broken Matt and Brother Nero.
Oh, my goodness. That would be so amazing.
Yeah, that would be pretty damn amazing, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would be like 10, 15 year ago me totally marking out in my house.
Yeah. Same here. That would be cool. I would like that. And as I attended WrestleMania 24, I can attest that it does get dark early enough that they could do something like that. Because the Undertaker's entrance was amazing at WrestleMania 24. It was good stuff. Okay. So, finishing up the list here, only a couple more matches to go. We got the Raw Women's Elimination match of Bayley, champion, against Charlotte, Sasha Banks, and Nia Jax. I went with Charlotte.
This is my prediction.
Yep.
Bayley is the first one eliminated.
And yes.
It's because of something with Sasha.
Yes.
And that's how the two of them have their feud. And then Sasha and Charlotte take out Nia Jax. And then Charlotte and Sasha do their craziness for another 10 minutes until Sasha does some move that looks like she completely broke herself in half. And then Charlotte wins.
Yeah, I put Charlotte down for winning because that's who I think is going to win the belt, because that's who I want to win the belt, because she just needs to be the permanent champion, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yep. And let's see here. Oh, Goldberg, Lesnar. I put Lesnar.
I'm being totally serious. I think that's my bathroom break.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there are a bunch of matches I'm not that into.
Dude, I hope that's not the last match on the card, because I really don't want to finish with that match.
Yeah. I mean, one, it's the world title match, or universal title match.
Universal title match, yeah.
Two, it's those two.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, I picked Lesnar, so who are you picking to win the match? It has to be Lesnar, or else he can't get back any credibility unless he goes out and just destroys everybody.
But it doesn't even matter if he destroys everybody, because he lost
right. In
20 seconds.
5 seconds, yeah. Yeah. No, he has to beat Goldberg to get his heat back, period.
Because everybody knows that Goldberg is leaving soon, and mm-hmm. Lesnar comes and goes. I hope that the crowd just mercilessly boos them.
Just like they did at 20.
And starts chanting, na na, na 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 na, hey, 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 goodbye.
And well, then they didn't chant that at 20, but...
Then we can have Lesnar turn to the crowd and give him the double finger. And that's it. And we could say, thank you for giving us this garbage again. And we're done.
Yeah. When the people started chanting Goldberg on Monday night during the promo that Heyman was cutting...
You mean when they... pumped in the people chanting Goldberg.
Hold on. I really wanted Heyman to say, oh, look, they've pumped that in already. Or just make reference and pick on, like, you know, just...
I don't even think they can hear it in the arena. Like, it could just be added on the TV show.
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess I pick Lesnar. You know, for all the reasons that you said.
Yeah. And finally... Randy Orton, Jason Crow. Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt. I went with Wyatt to retain because that's who I want to have happen, but I'm pretty sure Orton's going to win.
See, that's a tough one. Because on the one hand, Randy Orton and AJ Styles had a really good match the other day.
Yes, they did.
And on the other hand, Randy Orton burned down Bray Wyatt's barn.
Yeah, yeah. How do you cheer for that guy, right?
So
he's kind of a jerk.
Yeah,
and he's a good guy.
He does mean things. I would like to see Bray Wyatt keep the belt, and
me too.
Give him a little bit of a streak of actually winning pay-per-view matches.
Me too. So I'm putting Wyatt down for you then, huh?
Yeah.
Ryan will have to catch up with me at some point so I can add his.
I think we might get a return of what's his name? Eric Rowan.
Yeah. You know, honestly, I would just like to see one-on-one straight up matches without all kinds of outside interference and screw job finishes and on and on and on.
Yeah.
I'd really enjoy that.
Yeah, it would be nice.
I mean, I'm looking forward to this weekend. Like I said, the Hall of Fame on Friday, TakeOver on Saturday, WrestleMania on Sunday, plus we're doing Big Sandwich Day here at my house. So I am really looking forward to a good wrestling weekend, you know? And yeah. So I'm keeping positive.
Yeah, I'm keeping as positive as I can.
I'm keeping the positive. So you want to talk about our favorite WrestleMania matches?
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking the other day, I started thinking, you know what? We have a little bit of negativity towards some of the matches on this card.
Yeah.
So instead of us ending it on, ugh, why does Roman Reigns have to beat The Undertaker? I thought we could end it on something positive and bring up a few matches that we loved for various reasons from past WrestleManias.
Okay.
So for me,
I'm all on board for that. And in no particular order.
No particular order. I guess I'm going to go chronologically.
Okay.
Just because that's, I guess it's the easiest.
Okay.
So I went a little off the rails and not necessarily picked the greatest matches, but I picked matches that at the time, at the time, were what really got me excited.
Yep.
For one reason or another. And the first match was me as like a 7 or 8 year old kid watching the very first WrestleMania. And I remember back then was like rock and wrestling was ridiculously huge.
It was.
All the kids were like, yeah, rock and wrestling. And Cyndi Lauper was there. And the first match, like one of my favorite WrestleMania memories is Wendi Richter.
Oh my god.
Against Leilani Kai at WrestleMania 1. And it's not.
That's on my list.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Oh, that's amazing.
That is on my list. And it has a lot to do with what you're saying. I mean,
it's not that it was the greatest match. I mean, women's matches back then were not what, you know, we've seen them be now.
Oh, yeah.
By any stretch of the imagination.
Correct.
But it's just at the time, like, I mean, looking at some of the other matches on the card, it was exciting, but I was like, yeah, you know, we got Cyndi Lauper, we got, you know, we got all this stuff. This is awesome.
Yeah, we got a title change. You know, we have the good guy beat the bad guy, if you will. Good girl beat the bad girl. You know, we got a new champion. And you're right, Cyndi Lauper was there. And there was the whole rock and wrestling experience. I mean, it was phenomenal. It was phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I had a Hulk Hogan rock and wrestling sheet set when I was a kid.
Huh.
My pillowcases to this day that I still use. Maybe this is sad. I don't know. I still use my Hulk Hogan Rock and Wrestling pillowcases. At almost 38 years old, that is what is on my bed right now that I'm using for pillowcases on my two pillows. So, yeah. I mean, it was phenomenal. I loved the cartoon. I loved the whole – everything about it because I was – you know, 6 years old, 7 years old, just like you were saying.
Yeah.
And yeah, for me, first WrestleMania, the thing that always stood in my mind the most was two things. One was King Kong Bundy destroying SD Jones.
Right.
But yeah, it was Wendy Richter and Cyndi Lauper and Dave Wolf and the Rock and Wrestling Connection.
Yeah.
Yep.
Fantastic.
That's so funny that you brought that up.
And here I am thinking, man, I'm going to pick some stuff that no one else is going to talk about.
For me, the next one, I guess, if we're going to go chronologically, for me, it was WrestleMania 3. And I love Savage Steamboat. Don't get me wrong. That's a phenomenal match. It's great, you know. But for me, actually, it was Roddy Piper and Adrian Adonis.
Yep.
Because the only people that came out not on the carts were Piper and Hogan. And Piper's entrance was just something about it. And then I was a big Roddy Piper fan then as well. And knowing it was his last match, I was saddened by the fact that it was his last match, you know. And he went out there and he beat Adonis with that sleeper hold. And just, I don't know, I loved it. Absolutely loved it. I still love that match to this day.
Yep, and it's funny that you say that because that's one of Ronnie's matches.
Oh, it is?
Yep.
Oh, you guys were discussing it, I take it?
No, he shot us a message when he lost his connection.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
Yeah, Piper Adonis from WrestleMania 3 is one. Is
oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Yeah, but Piper Adonis, man. WrestleMania 3, Piper and Adonis. There's just something about it. Like, I just, his music blaring, him walking out to the ring, taking his time, the big smile on his face, just looking around like he was taking it all in. I mean, I appreciate it more now than I was a kid. But when I was a kid, man, I wanted nothing more than Roddy Piper to beat that Adrian Adonis.
Yeah.
On WrestleMania.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
My next one, I'm going to skip ahead a few years.
Yeah.
And jump up to WrestleMania 7.
Okay.
And there's a few couple matches I really enjoyed on the show. One of them was Ultimate Warrior Randy Savage, just because afterwards everything with Sherry and then on this Elizabeth was fantastic.
Yep.
But for me, at the time, again, at the time where I was, Jake the Snake Roberts against Rick the Model Martel in the blindfold match.
It's on my list.
Because, I mean, the whole buildup where he sprayed, you know, the cologne in his eye and they're doing the thing. He's got the contacts in. And, you know, I don't remember if it was on the Brother Love show.
Where
he's like, look in my eyes. And, like, he took off the glasses.
He
had the white eye and what. Oh, and you're just like, oh, my God, this
freaks me out.
Yeah, you know, back then, you didn't, you know, everything's real.
Dude, when he DDT'd Brother Love thinking he had got his hand, Brother Love's laughing and bending over, and he DDT's Brother Love thinking he got his hands on Martel, and his glasses fall off, and he does, he points at his face, and the camera zooms right in. Oh, dude, yeah, that had me hooked. And I thank God to this day that when I was a kid, I did not see when Snake put his hand up in his mask to scratch his nose that you could see his hand through the friggin' mask. If you go back and watch it now, I notice it. But at the time, I did not notice it.
Yeah, but I mean, I remember watching it, you know, and you have Jake standing in the corner, and he starts pointing in one direction. And as he's moving his arm, the crowd starts cheering louder and louder and louder, and he starts slowly going. And you got Rick Martel, you know, just blindly moving around the ring.
And he's, like, pushing his hands down, like, stop screaming type of thing.
Oh, my God. I remember watching that. You know, I'm sitting with my cousin watching it at, like, my grandparents' house. And the two of us are, like, cheering. We're like, go that way, go that way. Like, we were into that back then.
I mean, if you think about it, I mean, I've seen a couple other blindfold matches since then. Indie shows or whatever as well. And nothing as good as that. Like, the psychology, and Jake Roberts was the perfect guy for that, because the psychology of it all, you know, of him, like you said, standing in a corner and just pointing. And once you realize that, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it now, to be honest.
So good.
But when I was a kid,
watch this again.
I think I'm going to have to as well, because when I was a kid, I just remember him pointing to the corner, like pointing out and then moving his arm like you were talking about. And it's like, that's the first real fan interaction, if you really want to go back, as to when fans really, like, took over on a match. It was that, as they helped their hero, Jake Roberts, find the evil, dastardly Rick Martel.
Yep.
I mean, it was phenomenal. It really was.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got to go watch that match after we get done now.
Yeah, I loved it. Loved it. So good. You know, I mean, all was right. That the best match on the card? No.
No. No, but it wasn't.
Come on, that's amazing.
Yep. No, so I'm with you. I guess if we're going to keep going chronologically for me, I jumped to WrestleMania 10.
Okay.
And it's Owen versus Brett.
That's on my list.
And it's on Ronnie's list as well.
No, Razor and, HBK from 10.
Oh, what did he have? Oh, he had Austin and Brett. Okay, but Razor versus HBK from 10. I agree. That was a solid match. But for me, that whole WrestleMania, first, you know, Owen Hart. Yeah. Beating Brett in the opening match, which I just watched that again recently. That's just such a phenomenal match.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. As I've been going back and watching a bunch of old pay-per-views and whatever.
Yeah.
Owen Hart is one of the best.
Oh, he really is, dude. He really is. Did you see, did you watch, they talked about it on Deep Blue Something podcast that Mike Quackenbush and Bryce Remberg does, where they talked about like their favorite under 5 minute matches. And one of them they brought up was King of the Ring 1994, Owen Hart against the 1-2-3 Kid.
Okay.
And I can't remember if I was you, I said, go watch this match or somebody else. I don't remember now, I went and watched it. And I think it starts at like the 42 minute mark or something like that on the show, but they only went 3.5 minutes and it was it was incredible. Incredible. Huh. What that match, you need to go watch it.
Yeah. I'll put that on.
Put that down, watch that, and Jake Snake Roberts against Rick Martel from WrestleMania 7. Yeah. Is that match? I mean, I'm telling you, that King of the Ring match, it was just like, I forgot all about it. So I'm so glad that I heard someone talking about it, so I went and watched it, and I was just like, holy crap, this is a really great, like, what they managed to do in 3.5 minutes is just spellbinding almost, if you will.
Yeah.
Anyways, going back, though, Owen against Brett, for me, it was like, you know, everyone loved Bret Hart. I liked Owen.
Yep.
And Owen getting the win, I was like, awesome. Yes, yes, yes. And then, like, at the main event, when Brett wins the belt and he's staying there with the belt, and Owen comes out and he's just looking at him like, what about me, basically? Like, I beat you today, but you still come out on top somehow. Like,
yeah.
I felt for Owen as a, you know, like, I'm dead serious. Like, I'm a younger brother, my older brother, whatever. I felt for Owen. And I was just like, man, he's right. He's getting overshadowed again. Even though we beat him to start the show. Like, I don't know. It was awesome. Yeah. I was 15. So, I mean, like, I was just like, I completely get behind Owen Hart on this one. So, yeah, it was that to me is one of my all-time favorite matches. All-time favorite WrestleMania matches as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So good.
I can't believe how similar our lists are. It's funny.
I know. Jumping ahead a couple more years.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to WrestleMania 15. And you mentioned the 1-2-3 Kid.
Yep.
And at this point, I guess he was X-Pac, right? No.
Yes.
Was he? Yeah, he was X-Pac at this point.
15, against, yeah, he was X-Pac.
Against Shane McMahon for the European belt. And I remember, it. You know, back then it was like, why is Shane fighting? You know, like, why is this the title match for the European belt?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking, whatever, it's going to be, you know, so-so. But honestly, I think that might be my favorite match on the pay-per-view.
Let's be realistic. You actually got to be hard-pressed to find a bad Shane McMahon match.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even his match last year with Undertaker at WrestleMania, maybe it wasn't the match of the night, but if you just look at the match as a whole, I mean, yeah, especially back in the day when Shane was quote-unquote in his prime, you're hard-pressed to find a bad Shane McMahon match. He had a great match with Steve Blackman. Yeah, he took a 40-foot fall, but he had a great match with Steve Blackman.
No, but the match leading up to that was great.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I was lucky enough to see Shane wrestle at a house show in Portland against Kane in a Portland street fight. And, he did the Van Daminator. So, I mean, Van Terminator. You know, the coast-to-coast dropkick into the corner thing. I mean, like...
Yeah, yeah, I mean, that alone is amazing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, I just remember thinking that this, it's going to be, you know, just some, like, garbage little match. But, man, oh, man, so good. So good. And I don't know. I mean, I think it really shows that X-Pac was much, much better than a lot of people gave him credit for.
Yeah, he was. He was a lot better. Like, I mean, even I can honestly say now, like, I didn't give him as much credit as he deserved to have when I was younger watching him. I can look back now and see.
When he was younger, I think I liked him more. But by the time, you know, he was into DX, a lot of it was, you know, like, for me, the one thing that bothers me with wrestlers is I get that each of them have their signature moves.
Yep.
But I just don't like ridiculous moves. And the Bronco Buster, I can never get into. It's the same thing, you know, like you have a bunch of people down in the corners and he's going to run around and give Bronco Busters to everybody in each corner.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with Cesaro and his look, he's running around the ring giving uppercuts to everybody. That's, you know, wow. You know, like that, like for me, that always drove me nuts about X-Pac. But I guess at the same time, he had had some injury problems.
Yeah.
By then, he couldn't do a lot of the other stuff he used to do. But, you know,
tweeted recently. He's a brick shithouse now.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I saw it on one of the news sites or whatever, like, look what X-Pac looks like. So you open up this one of the things they had on the page, but he tweeted a picture of himself, and he's in phenomenal shape, apparently. He got rid of his beer gut. Got old abs. He's got a new six-pack. Six-pack of abs. Anyways, so I have this match down. I don't know if it's one of my favorites, but it was definitely something I enjoyed at the time. And now I look at it and go, my God, this is probably the biggest cluster match in the history of WrestleMania. And it was WrestleMania 16.
Okay.
Or WrestleMania 2000, if you will. And it was they called it a hardcore battle royal. And it was a 15-minute time limit. And it was going to be for that day only. This was the only time the hardcore title 24/7 rule is going to be enacted. And there was 13 or 15 guys in this match. And they just beat the tar out of each other. Like, they would never see this in this day and age. The number of objects striking people in the head was tremendously insurmountable to count. Pete Gass got busted open the hard way from taking a box fan to the head from Viscera. Crash got busted open the hard way somehow. I'm not sure what happened there. So they were both bleeding. Pete Gass had the crimson mask going on. And then the finish was even screwed up, where Hardcore Harley had the pin on Crash. And they're running out of time, and it was counting down. And I think what was supposed to happen was that the time was supposed to expire before the referee hit three, because the referee, Tim White, counted two, and then all of a sudden, like, pulled back, like he'd, like, slapped his hand down on some of the broken glass that was in the ring. And then the timer ran out. And then Crash grabbed the belt and was heading to the back, and they were playing – and at the time, Crash and Hardcore Holly had the same music, so they were just playing their music. And Hardcore had been the one to have the pin on Crash when this happened. So Crash is heading to the back, and Howard Finkel's like, the winner! And then he's like, who won this match? And then finally, because there's a delay, and then he's like, it's going to be Hardcore Holly! And Hardcore's like, okay. And then you see Crash like halfway up the aisle turn and go like, what? And they had to go running the belt from him, and they ran it back to Hardcore. So, I mean, I think they finished the match. It was 15 minutes, and it was a long 15 minutes. And it was just, the biggest cluster in WrestleMania history.
For me, I don't know. I was never a huge Hardcore fan in the WWE.
Yep.
That... You know, like, I get it. I get what it did. It served its purpose. But for me, I was just, you know, I was kind of just shut my brain off during those matches.
See, for me, if it's done right and it looks good, then, like, it makes sense. If it's done right and it makes sense, then it's fine. But if it's just plunder for the sake of plunder, then it doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
So,
my next one is actually... Yes. Also from WrestleMania 2000.
Okay.
And I really enjoyed the concept of this match. The triple threat for the Intercontinental and European titles.
That's on my list.
With Kurt Angle, Chris Jericho, and an unnamed third competitor.
It's Chris Benoit.
Yeah.
It's Chris Benoit.
Yeah.
I don't forgive him for what he's done, but it was Chris Benoit.
Yeah, this match, I'm trying to remember, Benoit won the first fall to get the Intercontinental belt, I think, or the European belt. I forget which one went first.
I believe the way it went was Benoit won the first fall.
Right.
And he pinned Kurt Angle.
Kurt Angle, yeah.
Sorry, no. He pinned Chris Jericho, I think, to win the Intercontinental Championship.
Oh, yeah, and then Jericho.
And then Jericho pinned Benoit.
To get the European.
To win the European Championship, yes. And take away Kurt Angle's Eurocontinental Championship.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that just... I don't know if it had been done before with matches like that.
I don't think it had.
I mean, you've seen kind of title versus title, like champion versus champion matches, but it's never, you know, whoever wins gets the better belt, and whoever loses, you know, like I would be interested in seeing that, you know, like you think at first that was what they said about WrestleMania 6, it's, you know, title versus title.
Yeah.
But then it was, oh no, it's champion versus champion.
Yeah, it's just champions versus champion, title versus title, but the Intercontinental title's not on the line.
Yeah. You know, like how crazy would that have been if after WrestleMania, Hulk Hogan, you know, got the consolation prize of the Intercontinental belt?
God, that would have been crazy, yeah.
You know, but like that's why the guy holds two titles, make it two out of three falls match. And
it wasn't a two out of three falls match. It was a two fall match. That's the other thing, too.
Right. Two fall.
It was just a straight up two falls match where the first fall was for this belt. The second fall was this for this belt.
Yeah.
And yeah. So, I mean, like Benoit or Jericho could have potentially walked out of there holding both titles.
Yep.
But they didn't, you know, I mean, Jericho, even though Jericho obviously, sorry, Jericho. Benoit won the first fall pinning Jericho. Jericho won the second fall pinning Benoit. So, I mean, Kurt Angle has his, but they didn't even beat me.
Yeah.
And I lost my belts. I mean, it was a great match. It was a great concept, in my opinion, just like you were saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
I did very much.
For me, I'm going to go to WrestleMania 17, and I've loved it then. I love it now. I rewatched it last night. I know it's not gold. The entrance is longer than the match itself. I love the gimmick battle royal. You know, the entrance is like 10 minutes it takes to announce all these guys coming to the ring. And then the match itself is like 4 minutes long. But you got Bobby the Brain Heenan and Gene Oakland on commentary. They're announced first. And so then they do commentary as everyone's walking to the ring. Heenan has his great saying about the Iron Sheik. It'll be WrestleMania 38 by the time he gets to the ring. I love it. I love the match. I love the concept. It was phenomenal to me. Absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, I remember when that one was happening, sitting at my buddy's house, and we're all watching. And a game that we always used to play whenever, I mean, not even when we were watching wrestling, is we would just start randomly just referencing the most obscure old wrestlers in conversation.
Yep.
So like when the gimmick battle royal happens and like a bunch of people are coming out and we're just like, this is everything we've ever hoped for. You know, like they're all back.
Yep.
You know, I mean, even though they're all 75 years old.
And it was still great. And I love that Michael P.S. Hayes came out as Michael P.S. Hayes with his big Confederate flag robe on or cape. And he came out. I don't know if he came out. I don't remember if originally at 17 he came out to Bad Street USA. It looks like he did. But on the network, he comes out to Bad Street USA.
Right.
So that's awesome.
Yeah.
And that's just plain awesome. And yeah, I love that. I still love it now, going back to 17 to watch that. It's still one of my favorites.
Who won that? Was it the Iron Sheik?
The Iron Sheik won that last eliminating Hillbilly Jim, who was at the process of eliminating, I believe, Sergeant Slaughter at that time.
Okay.
And then Slaughter came back in the ring and slapped the Cobra Clutch on the Iron Sheik.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I just... Yeah. I'm going to jump ahead to WrestleMania 19.
All right.
And people who have listened to this show before, and you who have had conversations before, mm-hmm. know that Shawn Michaels was always my guy.
Oh, yeah.
And after he got hurt and he had taken time off, Chris Jericho kind of became my guy.
Yep. This is on my list, too.
And then the one thing you always kind of want to see is that dream match of those two guys
mm-hmm.
on the grandest stage of them all.
Absolutely.
And at WrestleMania 19, I got to see HBK against Y2J, and it was fantastic.
The one thing I didn't like about that match was the end. Like, I kind of wish that hadn't happened.
Okay.
When Jericho kicked Michaels in the balls after.
Yeah.
But otherwise, yeah, I'm right there with you.
Yeah. I mean, it's so good.
I mean, to me, it was almost like watching Shawn Michaels wrestle Shawn Michaels.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, it was that good of a match. Like, it was a phenomenal match. Like, it made sense at the end when they hugged each other. And then I was kind of it did kind of take me out of it a little bit when Jericho kicked Michaels in the nuts. Because I was just like, they've just ruined it. I know Jericho's supposed to be the bad guy and on and on and on. But you know what? Come out on Raw the next night. Have them both come out. Have them shake hands. And then have Jericho kick him in the junk.
Yeah.
Or something. But I don't know. It was a great match, though. I think went like 25 minutes.
Yeah. I think it was the longest match of the night.
Yeah. Phenomenal match. And then later on, I mean, they had one of the best feuds that we've had in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
When they had that feud where after Jericho punched Michael's wife in the mouth.
But they never had another WrestleMania match.
No, they didn't. This was their only WrestleMania match.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. I'm gonna take us back. I'm gonna back it up a little bit to WrestleMania 18. Because at WrestleMania, actually, I got two matches at WrestleMania 18 that are on my list, and the first one I'm going to talk about is the Undertaker versus Ric Flair in a no DQ match. Okay. Because Ric Flair had joined the WWE just the year before, type of thing, at the end of the year. And he had no confidence, and he wasn't who he thought he was anymore. And honestly, as a Ric Flair fan, we hadn't seen like a top-notch Ric Flair match in quite a long time. And right. I'm a huge Ric Flair fan. And then at this pay-per-view, you know, the build-up to it was great. You know, first Flair wanted Taker, and Taker said no. And then first Taker wanted Flair, and Flair said no. And then Taker started attacking Arn Anderson, and he attacked David Flair down at Ohio Valley Wrestling, and you know, he made Flair take the match, and then when Flair said he would, then The Undertaker said, no, never mind, I've changed my mind. I mean, it was just mind games, you know, but it was really well done.
Yeah.
And this was actually – this match is the match where Taker went 10-0 after winning this match, incidentally. And that's when he got on the ring and he did his thing where he opened up his hands, counting out his fingers to 10. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the first time it was ever referenced that he was undefeated at WrestleMania, and they started making a big deal out of it after that once he hit 10-0. But anyhow, so the match itself was just a really good match where you thought the Undertaker, that you know, Ric Flair might actually beat the Undertaker.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, out of absolute nowhere, Arn Anderson pops in the ring. And this is why I think this match stands up in my mind so much. Arn Anderson, who we haven't seen in years on TV, you know, he's not supposed to take bumps because of his neck, on and on and on. Arn Anderson pops in the ring and hits a picture-perfect spinebuster on The Undertaker.
Yeah.
And then pops out of the ring like it was nothing. I mean, it was amazing. Like, I must have watched that spinebuster over and over and over again after, because It was absolute. I mean, Flair whips Taker into the ropes, drops out of the way. Out of nowhere, Arn Anderson just slides in the ring, gets up to his feet, grabs Taker, picture perfect spinebuster, and then he just pops, rolls out of the ring before the ref can see anything. It was unbelievable. The timing, unbelievable. Flair lost. Arn Anderson got beat up a little bit for his efforts. Yeah, I don't care. Loved it.
Yeah, Taker put him in the Dragon Sleeper, right?
Yes. Afterwards. Yes, he did. Yep.
Yeah.
It was great. It was great. Loved it.
Yeah. Arn Anderson's one of the best ever.
Oh, he is one of the best of all time, and his career sadly got cut so short. Yeah. So short. But just to see him do that, it was just like I'm pumping my fist right now thinking about it.
Moving ahead to 20.
Okay.
Two matches, and it's not even so much the matches themselves, which were both spectacular, yep. but it's the aftermath of the whole event for me.
Okay. Okay.
The first match for the WWE title mm-hmm. with Eddie Guerrero keeping it against Angle
yep.
was awesome.
I love the whole thing with the boot, the whole nine yards.
Oh, yeah. My God. Was that the best? When he that slips his best. Foot out? Come yep. on. Amazing. And yep. like,
and then
there's only one other person that would think of something like that besides Eddie Guerrero, and it's Jake Roberts.
Absolutely,
I think the two of them head and shoulders above everybody else with like ring psychology and everything else.
Eddie Agreed. Guerrero,
so good. And then the triple threat at the end with Benoit winning the title against Triple H and Shawn Michaels.
I felt vindicated for Benoit, like finally, like it'd be like if William Regal ever had a chance to actually win the world championship, you know what I mean? It'd be right. I'd feel the same way, but I felt that way for Benoit. I was like, finally, like that, a guy who's deserved it for so long, you know.
And afterwards, you could see when they hand him.
Oh, did you just go into a hidden room?
Yes, I did. I just found okay. the hidden Ronnie room.
Just went into a hidden room, did you?
When Hebner hands him the belt and he's just, you know, he wants him to get up and raise his hand and yeah, he's just and he's like crying. Crumpled, crying in the yes, ring.
I loved it. And I then love he it finally when gets up real emotion. Yes.
And he gets up in the corner on the second rope and he raises the belt and then he gets down off the rope and he turns around and Eddie Guerrero standing there.
Yep.
And the two of them, I mean, for years, they've been all over the world together and both of them standing at WrestleMania 20. With world championships.
Getting chills all so over good. Again. Yeah, it is. It's such a feel-good moment when you're a wrestling fan. I mean, like, watching their matches together, you know, they in ECW and then WCW. I mean, Benoit's debut TV match in WCW against Eddie Guerrero, and he powerbombed him harder than I've ever seen any man powerbomb another man in my entire life.
Yeah.
Like, it was crazy. And then, yeah, to see where they'd all come to, and then they get there, and, you know, yeah, it was phenomenal. It was phenomenal. Him turning around, Eddie's there. They hug, cry. It's just amazing. Amazing. Yeah. Whew. Going back in time a little bit.
Yeah.
WrestleMania 18.
Oh, my goodness. Come on.
To talk about. What?
No, I'm joking.
You know, when I was a kid, I was a big Hulk Hogan fan.
Oh, my God.
You know, I was. I had the Hulk Hogan workout set even. I had the poster. I had the cassette tape. I still remember the cassette. First of all, I still have the two blue 3-pound hand weights. I still have them. But I had the poster and I had the cassette tape. And I remember at the beginning of the cassette tape, you hit play. He cuts a promo and he's like, I'm 6'7", 2 inches from heaven. I weigh 305 and I can eat any man alive.
Oh, my goodness.
I know, but I remember it. And so I was a huge Hulk Hogan fan when I was a kid. Loved him, loved him, loved him. And then, you know, near his end of his run, I think basically after he took that long break and then when Bret Hart won the belt and then he came back and somehow at the end of WrestleMania 9, Hogan was champion. That's when I was just like, I'm done with Hogan. And then to me, he ruined WCW when he finally joined up with WCW. I didn't care for him in WCW at all. Through his run there, I still wasn't a big Hogan fan. And then his run in the NWO, I was like, whatever. I was nonplussed. But then when he came back and he had that match with Rock, and I think the fans had a lot to do with it for me, but there's just something about that match. I love seeing that match. It reminds me of when I was a kid with Hogan, except I know he was a heel when it started. But when they lock up, you know, and Hogan's being like Thunderlips, calling him a meatball. Yeah. And pushing him down, tell him to get up, meatball. You gotta do better than this, meatball. Let's go. Like him, Hogan talking trash, and just the match itself, and then the emotion of all those fans in Toronto. I mean, the whole thing. It was such a good match. Like, and like that. And that's how it is in my memory when I watch it now. Like, I became a Hogan fan again at that match. Like when I was a kid, and then when he went on his nostalgia run, I was just like, I'm good with this. I'm really good with this. you know?
Yeah.
So that match for me, it's a happy WrestleMania memory moment, if you will.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Honestly, those two are two of my least favorite popular wrestlers of all time.
Hogan and Rock?
Yeah.
That's
that,
fine.
That is
that one match, though, captures me.
Yeah, that's fine.
What you got?
I guess I'm going to go WrestleMania 21 with the Shawn Michaels-Kurt Angle match. Look, the whole match was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
There's no denying the whole match was awesome.
Yep.
But the final 2 or 3 minutes of the match, when Kurt Angle has the ankle lock on Shawn Michaels, I mean, for minutes, and, you know, he's in the middle of the ring and Shawn Michaels is going nuts and he's getting closer to the ropes, and then Angle drags him back. And then he's getting a little closer, and then he turns himself over and he's trying, you know, he gets his foot into Angle's chest and he goes to push him off, but Angle falls back, but he still has his ankle.
Yes.
And like rolls over and gets him back in the ankle lock. And they did that, I mean, like 3-4 times.
Yep.
And then every time, I remember every time watching it with my friends, we're just like, oh my God, like, how is he not breaking this hold? This is unbelievable. You know? And just spectacular. Like, that final sequence, the whole thing, you know? I mean, because, like, you know, at one point, Shawn Michaels looks like he's about to pass out. You know, and then he comes back too, and he pushes himself, and he's getting in. Oh, so good. So good.
Awesome.
I love that match.
It's a great match. It really is a great match. I guess for me, next on my list, I would actually have to skip ahead to WrestleMania 23. And I can't even believe this. I'm going to say it myself, but I'm going to say it. And I don't know why it is, but it just is. It was the ECW Originals against the New Breed in that 8-man tag. We had Rob Van Dam, Tommy Dreamer, Sabu, and the Sandman against Elijah Burke, Marcus Corvon, Matt Stryker, and Kevin Thorne. And match quality-wise, I would say that the rematch they had on ECW TV, that WWECW TV that they had on Tuesday night, was actually better.
Right.
But for me, it was like I got to see my ECW guys that I love watching, that I used to watch on my buddy's satellite dish at 1 o'clock in the morning on Friday, in the form of RVD, Tommy Dreamer, Sabu, and the Sandman, get their WrestleMania moment or whatever, you know, and go out there and have a decent match with the New Breed and win their match. And I don't know. I enjoyed it.
See, when you said WrestleMania 23, I thought you were going to talk about Kane against... I just forgot the guy's name. Great Khali.
I was gonna. Yeah, that's it. All right.
Wonderful. I think the next one, I think it's one of everybody's favorite matches ever, and it's obviously also from WrestleMania 23, Melina versus Ashley in a lumberjack match for the women's title.
And you enjoyed this match because...
No, I'm joking. skipping up to Mania 25. The Shawn Michaels Undertaker, the first match.
Yeah.
Good God.
Their first one was definitely better than their second, but holy Christ, yeah.
Yeah, but oh my goodness. I mean, the fact that, you know, I just one moment in this match gets me. And it's when the Undertaker tombstones Shawn Michaels, and he's going to pin him, and Shawn Michaels kicks out. And the camera, it's like a close-up of the Undertaker's face.
Yep.
And the Undertaker looks like the guy in the crowd when the Undertaker lost it to Lesnar. It's just that, like, huh? Kind of expression. Like, I can't believe what just happened. And, oh my goodness, that whole match, I mean, even to the finish, when Shawn Michaels does the freaking moonsault and the Undertaker catches him into the tombstone.
That was crazy.
I mean, like,
crazy.
So many things could go wrong with that. And it worked perfectly. You know, it's just, that's two guys that are two of the best ever at the top of their game, just putting on a freaking clinic. I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah, I just like every bit of that match. It's, you know, it's just amazing. And I rewatched it the other day, and I was like, man, this is just as good as I remember it being.
Yeah, no, I'm right with you there. I mean, I definitely enjoyed their match at 25 better than their match at 26. As a matter of fact, I thought their match at 26 was a little too
formulaic.
Not deliberate. That's not the word I want to use. Too
formulaic.
Obvious.
Yeah.
Formulaic obvious. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's you know, Shawn Michaels won't die at the end, and The Undertaker does his big throat across, you know, thumb across the throat, and then he does like a jumping tombstone pile driver on him this time to put him away. But definitely their 25 match was just way better.
Yeah.
Way, way, way better than their 26 match.
Yeah.
But my next pick actually is going to bring us going back to WrestleMania 24. I was there live at WrestleMania 24. It's Ric Flair against Shawn Michaels. And this is because I was just such a huge Ric Flair fan. And it pains me to say that I really wish Ric Flair would have stayed gone after WrestleMania 24.
But he retired.
Yeah. As far as wrestling and as far as, you know, his almost even his just personal life coming out. And it's like the old adage, you don't want to get to know your heroes because you'll find out they're human and they'll disappoint you.
Yeah.
Which, that's not always the case, I've discovered. But, like, with Ric Flair, like, I was such a huge Ric Flair fan my whole life. Even as a kid, I loved Ric Flair. You know, he was always the man to me. And so to be there in Orlando live to see what should have been Ric Flair's final match against Shawn Michaels, I mean, the whole emotion of everything for me. The fact that we got a 4th of July caliber fireworks display on his entrance.
Right.
His entrance, for crying out loud. I mean, they just didn't stop. And I can remember seeing the whole thing. You know, HB came out first. HB came out first. Ric Flair came out second. He had on a beautiful robe and, you know, kind of a very modernized, updated version of his Starrcade 83 robe, you know, the blue robe with the big tail and everything. And then he had that unbelievable entrance with the fireworks display. He gets in the ring. I mean, Charles Robinson's refereeing the match, you know. And then they proceed to have just an unbelievable match. I mean, like, I rewatched the match again last night, and I felt this live, and I felt this again last night while watching it. I mean, like, Ric Flair was the man again. He was Ric Flair from the mid-80s, torn around the NWA, tearing down the house with everyone. And he and Shawn Michaels were just so snug in that match. Yeah. And Flair was just laying the chops in, and so wasn't So Michaels was just giving it right back to him and everything. And it slowed down a little bit when Michaels caved his chest in on that moonsault onto the table, obviously. But, I mean, they just tore it down. And I'll never forget this moment. And it's not captured on any camera I've seen, but I'm sitting there watching it. And I'm basically, I got my eyes glued on Flair, and I see he's down on the mat. And he's on the mat, like, starting to push himself up, and he's crying. Like, you can see he's openly crying. And I just started getting all emotional myself. My buddy Rude taps me and he goes, look, he's crying. I'm like, I know. And, you know, Shawn Michaels is in the corner, but I'm watching him. And when you watch the tape, they kind of show a view of Ric Flair getting up from behind. And then he does the, you know, come on, you son of a bitch type thing. And yeah, he's pulled himself together a little bit by then. But I mean, like, before that happened, as he was getting up, he was openly crying. And I just, like, this is it. It's over.
Right.
This is the finish. And I did. I instantly got emotional. I had a tear in my eye, if you will. I had lots of tears in my eyes, I'm not going to lie. And then, you know, he gets up and he does that come on, you son of a bitch thing. And then Shawn Michaels kicks his face off and he pins him. And it's very powerful and emotional moment for me. I can't even express enough how grateful I was there to be live to see it, because I got to see an angle that I haven't seen on TV from it. Especially. And then, you know, Shawn Michaels, they don't raise his hand. They announce him the winner. They don't raise his hand. He doesn't celebrate. You know, he says what he says to Flair. He kisses him on the head. He gets out of the ring. He walks to the back. You see Little Nate's Charles Robinson roll out of the ring after hitting a three count, and he's wiping the tears from his eyes. Like, I could see it from where I was sitting. Hmm. You know, and then the camera then shows Sean walking all the way to the back, and Flair's just laying in the ring crying because this is his everything that he's done. He's given his life for, you know, since he's debated since 1972, you know, and now it's over. So, yeah, it was a really emotional moment for me. And I'm glad I got to be there live for it. And then he had to go tarnish the whole thing coming back. I have solace that his last match in TNA at least was against Sting, but still. Anyhow, sorry.
It's all good.
I think that's my favorite WrestleMania moment of every WrestleMania I've ever seen. And definitely empowered by the fact that I was there live for it.
Yeah. I have one more on my list.
I have two. Go ahead.
And it's actually two matches, same WrestleMania. Okay. WrestleMania 30.
Yep.
When the Daniel Bryan train could not be stopped. No matter what they thought. I mean, the fans had been hijacking every show with yes chants and with everything for months. And finally, you get, all right, if you beat Triple H, you can get your title shot. And he goes in, and he wins the match, and the place goes freaking ballistic. And then, you know, there's finally, it's the main event with Randy Orton and Batista, which, I mean, man, fans were pissed at the Rumble when Batista came in and won, and it wasn't Daniel Bryan in that spot. At the end, you know, like as soon as he did not come out at 30, it was just booze.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
And
it was insane.
And you know, it was nuts. And at the same, you know, you kind of got to feel bad for Batista winning the thing. You know, he comes back, he's promoting a movie, he's back. He thinks he's going to be, you know, well received. Like, hey, look who's back. But no, yeah,
no,
it's,
no.
Hey, you're not our guy, so get the hell out of here. But just the end of WrestleMania with Daniel Bryan holding the belt, you know, with the confetti and everything going off was just spectacular. That it was.
I agree.
Just like, you know, like you said, it was a feel good moment. You know, I guess at the same time, when was it? Was it the next year that he won the Intercontinental belt?
Yeah,
in 31. The ladder match? Yeah.
Yep.
That's the same thing. Like, he had been hurt and he came back, you know, and he ended the match holding the title belt, and you're like, yes. And, you know, then he got hurt again. But yeah, just, you know, for me, that was great because, I mean, that was, I mean, it seemed like a 2-year story of everyone keeping him down. And finally, you know, the fans were like, hell no, we're done. This is our guy. This is who we want. And, you know, for him to win the belt at Mania was just spectacular.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Absolutely, I do. I have two more moments myself.
Okay.
The first is going back to WrestleMania 25. And it was the handicap elimination match of Chris Jericho against Piper Snuka and Steamboat with Flair in their corner.
Yeah.
And the reason why it was for me was it wasn't the only reason why was for Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Yes.
Because, you know, when, oh my God, it was insane. When Steamboat tagged in and he came out, he came right off the top rope with that big chop to the head. And then, you know, he did the skin the cat. He did the plancha to the floor. I mean, it was just unbelievable. Like, what? Because Steamboat hadn't wrestled. Like, this isn't a guy that wrestled on the independent scene and we hadn't seen for a while or whatever. Steamboat hadn't wrestled a match in, like, 15 years or something, 12 years or something, whatever it was at that point, you know? Yeah. And then he goes out there, and it's just like,
never missed a beat.
He was immortal. You know what I mean? Like, he did. You know, he never missed a beat. And, you know, yeah, he lost to the Codebreaker. But, man, like, there was a part of me. There was a little part of me inside that was like, they need to call an audible. They need
did
to call an audible
right
now. Did he lose
to the Codebreaker or did he tap to the walls?
No, he lost to the Codebreaker. He hit the guy with the Codebreaker and got pinned, I believe. Because I think he I want to say like he powered out of the walls initially. You might be thinking of the pay-per-view. I think he tapped to the walls at the pay-per-view match they did like the next month.
I don't remember.
I'm pretty positive he lost to the Codebreaker. No, I got to look it up.
Pinned after the Codebreaker.
Okay, there we go. Yeah. So anyways,
yeah, it was Snuka, like, Snuka submitted.
Yeah, Snuka submitted, but just Steamboat was just awesome in that match. And I was sitting there, I can't remember who I was watching with, but I was like, they need to call an audible. They need to put the Intercontinental title on Steamboat right now. Like, you know, I mean, it was such a great match. And you listen to Jericho talk about how like Steamboat Savage influenced him so much and said, hey, because of that match, he thought he could be a wrestler too. And how him and his friends would like do that match over and over again. They had it down. I'm just like, they should have just done Steamboat versus Jericho at Mania. They should have just let them tear it down, obviously, because they clearly could have and had Steamboat go over, win the belt at Mania, and then he could have lost it back to Jericho the next month or something. I don't know. But to me, like, that was like the ultimate, like, feel good, like, one of the best of all time is back, and he actually can still go. And then Steamboat wrestled a bunch of house shows after that. He wrestled at the next pay-per-view against Jericho. I mean, and, you know, he wrestled on Monday Night Raw the next night as well. It's part of like a big 10-man tag and got the win, I believe. And then, you know, he wrestled on the next pay-per-view. I mean, it was phenomenal for me. Absolutely love it. Love it, love it, love it.
Yep.
And then my last match on the card, or on my list, if you will, is WrestleMania 30 as well. But it's Brock Lesnar versus Undertaker.
Undertaker, yeah.
And it's not because the match was good, because the match wasn't good.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, the match wasn't good. For me, it was the fact that Taker lost and the crowd reaction after that, because I'd heard for years and years and years about the night that Ivan Koloff beat Bruno Sammartino in Madison Square Garden for the WWF championship, and how you could hear a pin drop and how the garden just went silent because they couldn't believe what they just seen. They couldn't believe that after like 8 years, Bruno had lost the belt.
Right.
And I've never had that moment in my life for wrestling. I've never experienced anything like that. And I watch a lot of wrestling. And then all of a sudden, when Undertaker didn't kick out and the referee hit three, it was so surreal. Like, I couldn't believe it. Like, the crowd, they're like, one, two, what? And then the crowd was silent. I mean, they were so silent. And they didn't play Brock Lesnar's music. And they show Heyman jumping in the ring, and he's got his hands over his face, and Brock Lesnar's sitting there like, holy shit.
And then I love just the Heyman smile go, on his face.
Yes, yeah. And then you hear Heyman go, you did it. Like, even Heyman couldn't believe it, that he'd beaten The Undertaker.
Yeah.
And then, like, the referee raised Brock's hand, you know, and then they play his music, and they're showing the crowd, and the, you know, like you said, the guy with the bug eyes, you know?
Yeah.
And the crowd's dead silent, and they're just like, holy shit, they can't believe it. And they play Brock's music finally, and they announce him the winner, and Brock walks out and everything. I mean, like, I'm actually getting goosebumps thinking about it just because it was such a powerful moment. It wasn't a good match by any means, but the finish was just like, I put, you know, the 21-1 up on the screen, which I was surprised about, you know?
Well, I mean,
and
they knew about it.
What I mean is, I'm surprised they even put the graphic up. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. but yeah, and then, you know, Taker slowly rose to his feet and walks to the back. And like, but I just, to me, that was like, okay, when people talk about Bruno Sammartino against Ivan Koloff, which, by the way, they talk about that less and less because that match happened in 1971 and those people are mostly dead.
Well,
that were there probably, or you know what I mean?
Not really. I mean, it's
no. Okay. I understand. You know what I mean? No one talks about it as much anymore because it was happened so long ago.
Right.
But yeah, so like that's my Bruno Koloff moment, you know, seeing like witnessing that. So that's why that made the list for me.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
I want to talk about one more Mania thing.
Uh-oh.
And I know you're going to agree with me this 1,000,000%. The highest percentage of agreeing that ever be agreed upon, you're going to agree with me on this one?
I don't think so.
And yes.
Just to spite you.
Nope, you are. You're going to not be able to control yourself.
Before you do that, yes. Ronnie's third choice for his match was Austin Brett at WrestleMania 13.
And I can get behind that.
Amazing. I actually rewatched that the other day.
Yep, again. I did too as well. Thanks to Pritchard Show for making me rewatch matches all the time. Like I put that on to rewatch Nation of Domination against LOD and Ahmed Johnson because I wanted to see them use the wrong fire extinguisher. Yeah. So they really did. like you can definitely tell the difference. But yeah, I mean, that was a phenomenal match. I mean, iconic image of Austin pushing off the mat, blood running down his face, onto his teeth and everything. Yeah. But when I was a kid, the greatest WrestleMania in the world to rent, or best tape in the world to rent, was WrestleMania 4.
Yeah, because it was two tapes.
Because it was two tapes for one rental.
Yes, sir.
16 big matches, including a battle royale. But yeah, so
I love that pay-per-view.
Oh yeah, I
think we talked about it before. I think every event ever, that's my favorite. One night tournament for the WWE Championship.
Yep.
Spectacular. And I love how they gave Hogan and Andre the bye into the second round.
Absolutely.
Oh, yep, so good.
But just the fact that when I was a kid, we used to have to rent a VCR at my dad's house for a while there. Because he didn't have one. And then, God forbid, you spend all that time picking out movies. You get up to the counter, and there's no VCR to rent. But anyways, so we'd run a VCR, and I'd always like to get WrestleMania 4 because there was two tapes. Or then when my mom would take us to get stuff, and I'd always go look to see if they had wrestling. I'm like, I think I'll get WrestleMania 4 because it's two tapes. Yeah. And then if you're lucky enough that you got to open the box, it had like the pop-up when you opened it. Remember?
You know what? My video stores didn't do that. They were in separate cases.
Oh, so you know, mine was in like, they would put the two pieces of Starphone in the display box and then wrap it in plastic. But I remember when I finally got to open one day, the center had a pop-up thing that came up.
Oh, nice.
Look it up on the old Google machine. But anyway, so yeah, WrestleMania 4 is my favorite to rent because A, it was a great show, and B, because two tapes, one rental price.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, there was another pay-per-view that was two tapes. I think it might have been like an old WCW or maybe NWA or whatever that my cousin and I used to get also. Just for that reason that it's like, hey, you know what? It's like the video place by me.
Yeah.
It was, you could rent three and you would get a fourth one for free.
Yeah. With
2-day rentals. But if you got it on the Friday, you didn't have to return them until Monday. Because they weren't open on Sundays.
Oh, that's funny.
So we're like, well,
a video store not open on Sundays just seems ludicrous because you think that'd be let's go grab a movie.
You know what, though?
What?
The county that I live in, nothing's open on Sundays.
That's right. You live in New Jersey. That's right.
Well, it's just Bergen County. I mean, I could go, literally, I could drive 15 minutes away from my house and do it, and it would be fine. But the one in my town,
restaurants allowed to be open on Sundays?
Non-essentials are not, like restaurants, markets, you know, things like that. But you can't.
Restaurant's not essential.
People need to eat. But it's not
eat
like,
at home.
Like, I couldn't be like, oh, you know what? I'm going to go buy myself a new TV and go to Best Buy because they're like, they're not open.
Well, that's, I think I went years ago, 2006, I think it was, I went, or seven maybe, visited my brother, and he was living in New York, and we went down through New Jersey to do something, and it was just, he's like, oh, look at this, he's like, we're going to go by this giant mall, there's not going to be a single car in the parking lot, and it was a Sunday, I'm like, why not? So.
Yeah. But I just remember my cousin and I, there were two things that were two tapes each, and we used to always get those two, and then we'd pick other stuff. And now that I'm thinking about it, it might have just been Godfather Part 2.
Yeah, because the only two tape movies I can think of were like WrestleMania 4, Gone with the Wind, Gettysburg, Godfather Part 2.
Yeah, Once Upon a Time in America was another two tape movie.
I'll take your word for it.
Oh, so it's a good movie. You should watch it.
I don't know. I can't remember if I've seen it or not.
Podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, well. But
so I guess that sums it up, I guess, for me tonight.
I think so.
good, 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 good go home show for WrestleMania.
I think so.
Yeah. So, hey, so thanks for listening.
You're welcome. Thank you for also listening to me.
You're welcome. And Ronnie, well, sorry you couldn't stay longer, I guess. So let's plug some stuff, I guess. Plug our Twitters. I'm at SuperstarML, and my blog is at the wrestlinginsomniac.com. Go check it out.
I am at Aaron S. Bell, and Ronnie is at RonBar316.
Correct.
And the show is at 2 million pods something.
So that's like 2 M-I-L pods hold?
No, it's at 1,000 pods hold.
Yes, that's 1K.
No.
P-O-D-D-S.
Oh, my goodness.
H-O-D-A-S.
Oh, my goodness.
1 pods holds.
You are ludicrous, and this is why we have no Twitter followers.
Probably. No. Probably. I don't even maintain the show's Twitter. Ronnie does, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ronnie. Get us more followers.
Maybe if you gave him the right Twitter name.
Nah, it's okay.
We have a Facebook group.
We do have a Facebook group. We should have some more people in there as well. So go over there and join the Facebook group. You can chat with us. Because we're fun to talk to.
You know what? I legitimately don't know our Facebook group.
It's
just podcast start of 1,000 holds, right?
Podcast of 1,000 okay. holds, yeah. The Twitter is 1,000 holds pod.
With numbers.
1000 holds pod. See, I did it right for the first time.
No, you didn't.
How did I not do it right?
No, you did. I'm just messing
with you. Okay, I'm like, I really think I did it right this time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right, thanks.
Ronnie Baron.